Wagwan, my peeps, have you not watched Bob Marley One Love movie yet? Now's your chance. You have the opportunity to bring home Bob Marley One Love on digital now. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. Buy Bob Marley One Love Digital today and get over 50 minutes of behind-the-scenes footage and deleted scenes. Available at participating retailers, the movie is rated PG-13 and is brought to you by Paramount Pictures. Are we set the trend? Welcome to the Style and Vibes podcast with me, Michaela. I'll be giving you the inside scoop on music, fashion, culture, and more from Caribbean celebrities and tastemakers across the globe, pushing our culture with authenticity and, of course, style and vibes. This episode of the Style and Vibes podcast is sponsored by our online shop. Make sure you guys visit styleandvibes.com/shop and it'll direct you directly to the e-commerce shop. And you can get 20% off your purchase by using the discount code podcast. So use that code. And if you get something really great and you want to tag me on Instagram, make sure you guys use the hashtag styleandvibes and I'll definitely reshare it. Thank you guys so much for your support. Hello, hello, my peoples. How are you doing? Okay, manad twang no more. It's Michaela of the Style of Vibes podcast. Welcome to episode 13. Today, it's just me and I'm talking about cultural currency. I'll get into why I chose this topic and how I got inspired by it in a second. But I wanted to introduce a little segment in the beginning of the podcast just to share what I'm styling on, what I'm vibing to, and just give you guys kind of an overview of, you know, just things that are on my mind as I'm recording in, you know, the time that I'm recording. So right now, I'm really styling. I have such a huge crush on Tracee Ellis Ross. She recently hosted the American Music Awards, and she wore all black designers, including Pyer Moss, who is of Haitian descent, and Kushni, who is of Brit Jamaican descent. And I loved the idea of her really just wanting to be mindful about sharing the talent from, you know, the black community. And not just reaching for the same ones that we know. And I think it is an amazing example. And I think a lot more celebrities are doing this because they see how much of a talent pool that is there that is kind of not always supported consciously. So I think it was a great initiative and I commend her for it. So she is my style. A style crush for this podcast. She's doing amazing things. She has great taste in style and I just love everything about her. But kudos to Tracee Ellis Ross for rocking all black designers, including a few from the Caribbean. So right now I've been vibing to a lot. If you check out styleandvibes.com, we do a vibes of the week almost every week. So I've been listening to a lot of new music. We've been just, you know, hearing a lot of great music come out of, you know, the Caribbean and Africa and Europe. So we're just kind of, you know, putting that all in a pot and kind of sharing. Hopefully I'll get some playlists up pretty soon with some of those and share that with you. But there have been a lot of great albums that have dropped recently. Estelle's Lover's Rock is kind of been in rotation. I like a few of the songs I especially like better. And I also like the one with Luke James. Oh, Luke James sounds, her and Luke James sound so great on that record. And what I love about that record is, you know, sometimes when artists kind of cross genres, it doesn't sound authentic, but it really sounds like them. It sounds like an R&B, reggae, a true blend of R&B and reggae. And I think it really just sounds very, so well, like the two of them complement each other so much and it sounds amazing. Of course, also listening to The legend Baris Hammond, I actually, saw an interview where he said he doesn't like to be referred to as a legend. I think he's so humble, and it's amazing that he can be in this business and be so humble. I think a lot of artists could probably take notes, because it's actually the first time I've seen him do so much promo around an album. He travels all the time and he performs constantly. Like, Baris's catalog is, whew, he can perform, and the crowd will always continuously go crazy, and I think he'll be performing until he can't anymore, and we all love it. But for this album, he's actually doing a lot more interviews and just sharing his thoughts, and he looks very excited, in a great space. So big up to the big man, Baris Hammond. Never Ending is out now, so you guys can listen to it on any platform. Single wise, I'm really feeling Jada Kingdom. I love her sound. I love just her vibe. Essentially, it sounds very different than, a lot of the artists that I've been hearing. So it's not typical. A lot of the women in reggae and dancehall are really doing things, and they don't sound the same. So I'm really getting into that. Our last podcast was talking about one woman. So, the fact that there are so many women doing great music, and Jada Kingdom is one of them. So may I tune into her. May I listen to Wiesman. It's actually not just her on the song. There's another girl on the song, and the name completely escapes me, but I'm going to leave it in the notes. But yeah, that's what I'm kind of vibing to right now. So I guess because it's kind of cold, I'm kind of like, I dip into the reggae and the lovers rock on me. I slow it down because it's getting cold in this area. So that's probably why, that's just what I'm vibing to right now. I just love music and film documentaries about people and their lives. So I've been watching, a bunch on Netflix. I started the Quincy Jones one. But there is a episode on a documentary program called Remastered about the assassination attempt of Bob Marley called Who Shot the Sheriff? Who Shot the Sheriff is the name of the episode. And it's really kind of diving into the theories and talking to people that were close to him about, and even having some interviews of him pre and diving into the assassination attempt. So it doesn't really cover the breadth of his entire musical history. It really just focuses on who shot him, why, or the theories around why. It doesn't really give a distinct answer, but you can kind of take clues and extract what you want. So I highly recommend watching it. It's actually on Netflix, so you can watch it at your leisure, and I think it's something that a lot of people will enjoy, whether you're of Jamaican descent or you're just interested in Bob Marley and his story. I think it's a significant piece of who he is as an artist and part of his history and the legacy that he leaves behind. So on to cultural currency. Cultural currency. When I really think about, that word, it's like, how can culture really have currency? But it's essentially just, valuing culture and, being able to monetize off of it. In essence, I know people, when people think about culture, it's not something that, should be commoditized. But to be completely honest, that's kind of how cultural appropriation happens anyway. So if we are not the ones to kind of claim the value of our own culture, then it will become commoditized by other people that just see and want to enjoy. We see it all the time in pop culture, quote unquote borrowing or being inspired by, so many things that come out of the Black community. And it's almost like, but we've been doing this forever, like, where did this come from? So the idea of just talking about cultural currency really came out of me attending this event called CultureCon. So it's a conference that is really centered around Black creatives in, various spaces, whether it be tech, media, television, film, just coming together in a space and having a bunch of different discussions around culture and how it how we use our culture to kind of, for some of these people, they kind of use their culture to kind of create businesses and how it has impacted them and their careers over time. They also had workshops, which I didn't attend. So I really just went to just listen, really just soak up some of the energy, hear what people were talking about. There were a lot of different great people there, from actors, people from HBO, Netflix, creators, filmmakers. Nick Cannon was there. Remy Ma was there. So they were kind of just sharing some of their insights and on particular topics. And it was just very inspiring to see so many, you know, people who look like you in the same room, just kind of having the same thought process and even just engaging in conversations around those different topics was definitely very interesting. They had this quote by Jay-Z kind of plastered on a big wall that said, "We are the culture, nothing moves without us." And that's definitely true because, you know, we kind of say, you know, we set the trend. So, you know, it's kind of just like that. You know, we set trends, but we don't all always monopolize on them. And I think it's very important for us to understand that it's important to represent your culture and being able to be passionate about something. And if you love it that much, to be able to kind of dictate where it's going, you know. And a lot of times what happened is, you know, we set the trend, but don't actually, you know, see it follow through. I think now it's becoming more prevalent because people are actually recognizing that it's just like, wait a minute, why is it, you know, it's the whole boxer braid scenario where cornrows were called boxer braids by, you know, a media outlet, or, you know, even like a silk press was called glass hair. We were like going crazy. Every time something like that kind of happens, it kind of triggers us to say like, wait a minute, we've been doing for this for how long? So why is it all of a sudden now it's a trend? It's been a trend in our community, but you know, once it kind of spans out or it gets into the hands of, you know, people outside of our culture directly, it becomes this big phenomenon of a trend. And I think that it's important, one, you know, that we check, you know, those people who, you know, like, you know, they try to call, you know, Rihanna doing the guada guada, the stanky leg, and, you know, Okay Africa corrected people. So it's great to correct people on, you know, those types of things and calling them out when those things happen, because it's definitely accurate. Like, call it what it is. Don't try to change the name because it isn't up to your liking, or from a marketing perspective you want to make it more appealing to your own audience. It's like calling someone by a completely different name just because you can't pronounce their name. We're just going to call it something different for us. It's totally inappropriate, and I really commend everyone that kind of goes in and corrects people. You know, we do it all the time. Like, no, this is not Tropical House. It is dancehall. It is soca. Like, call it what it is. There's nothing wrong with creating new genres or creating new names, but let the people that come from that particular trend, let them create the new name. Don't like force it on to people, because I think that also plays a part in how trends get commoditized in the first place. And, you know, it's okay to be inspired by a lot of things, and there are definitely ways to be inspired by, and then there are just ways to kind of, you know, just take it and pretend. And, you know, if you get called out on it, acknowledge it. At the same time, it's up to us to really understand how much value we bring to the table. Our ability to create trends or change trends, it really comes from the people. It comes from the people who are creating. It comes from the dancers and dancehall. You know, one thing I always, you know, I love to see it now. I mean, imagine if Bogle was around right now to see, you know, how much dance hall dance has progressed. I mean, people are really like taking classes and giving master classes. And I love some of the movements that are coming out of Jamaica specifically when it comes to dance because, you know, you can't trademark a dance because, you know, it happens so quickly. And there are so many people who create dances that, but don't give credit. Big up, you know, Blacka the Dancer. He's always giving credit to the dancers in Jamaica who create those dances, and he'll say it, you know, continuously. And when he teaches and he goes and he does his workshops, he always makes it a point to educate people like this is where it comes from and this is, you know, what it is. And, you know, he takes dancers back to Jamaica so that they can have that full experience. And that's really what appreciation is about, is having, you know, those catalysts in between to kind of say, okay, this is how we do it and this is what it's supposed to be. And so, you know, and really taking the people who actually started that, giving them credit, giving them opportunities to either dance or to, I'm just using dance as an example because it's a great one that I have on my mind right now. But it's being able to take people who created those trends and give them the opportunity to progress and really see the movement get bigger. You know, we say, you know, this, that to the world, and this. The only way it gets to the world, one, is if we push it with intention. And two, you have to expect some of that, you know, appreciation versus appropriation conversation because, you know, you're going into any Zumba class, you're bound to hear a Mashal song, a Soca song, a Bungee. You know, you're gonna hear those sounds as well. But that's kind of how what happens when, you know, cultural trends become a global phenomenon, and we have to be a part of the players that are actually pushing all of it. If we want to, you know, really put value to our culture and not see it and say, you know, but what about this and what about this and why aren't we sitting at the table? A lot of that stuff happens behind the scenes. So, you know, a lot of the people who work at these corporate places are kind of Caribbean descent. You know, those people play an important part because they are kind of the catalyst to bringing the culture to the next level behind the scenes. There's a lot of things that happen, you know, from a musical standpoint. You know, people have to be ready to deliver, but there also has to be people, our stories from our perspective with authenticity. And of course, style and vibes. I fit plug, a little tagline. But essentially, that's what it's about. Understanding how much our culture brings to the table, understanding our own value so that we can push it to the next level and have people appreciate our culture respectfully. I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. What do you think? As a Caribbean person living yad or abroad, mina business. As a Caribbean person, what do you think our cultural currency is? Do we value it? And how do we continue to make sure that we are pushing the needle to be at the table and to be a part of the conversations and to be a part of the business deals that are happening globally? Surrounding our culture, but not really involving us. What are your thoughts? That's it for me today, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Today is a short episode, but I hope it was very impactful. Let me know what you think. Also, please be sure to leave a review, a rating, and review in iTunes. I really appreciate all the feedback that I have been getting. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and make sure you guys log on to styleandvibes.com for all the things that I can't get to in this podcast. Until next time, later, my peeps. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Style and Vibes podcast. If you like what you hear, and I know you do, share it with your friends and family. If you want more, make sure you visit styleandvibes.com and follow us on our social channels, Twitter and Instagram @StyleandVibes. Until next time, Leah Tommy Peeps!